We welcome you back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. Lisa Lanier is our official attorney. She joins us every week at this time. Segment is called Lawyer Up. She goes inside a bunch of legal cases and dissects them all. Hello, Lisa. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. I hope you guys are.
Doing very well. It's great to have you in here. As always, we have one that's like breaking news for you, Lisa Lanier, that Chris Dim just brought up in a Dim report. But it is overseas. I'm going to take you to Germany and hope you can handle it, okay?
I'm hoping. I don't know. You know how I am with international law.
I know the international law sometimes gets
you. That's a strong suit.
The story is there is a nurse there that was administering the COVID vaccine, but she's an anti-vaxxer. So really, when people were going in to get the vaccine, she was just giving them a saline solution, which of course won't hurt you, but they weren't actually vaccinated as they thought they were. So my question was, let's say these people thinking they had the vaccine went out, went into crowds, restaurants, you know, party, whatever it might be, get COVID and wind up dying of it or getting a severe case of it. Could you connect the dots and charge her with manslaughter?
Yeah, I think you could. And it's actually, there's something similar that's been happening in the U.S. where people who are opposed to the vaccination are lying to their employer and faking the vaccination cards and pretending that they've been vaccinated when they haven't. Mm-hmm. And these people are being criminally prosecuted under statutes that we have, and they have similar ones internationally, that basically are, you know, if you intentionally do things that can spread a communicable disease, then you are liable criminally. Mm. We've talked about this with herpes and HIV, and it's true of any disease. It's not limited to sexually transmitted diseases.
That's true.
Yes. She could face criminal charges, and her employer could potentially be civilly liable for her actions if someone dies or something.
Like the old, you remember hearing in the 80s when AIDS was running rampant, people sleeping with others and then writing on the mirror in lipstick, "Welcome to the wonderful world of AIDS."
That never happened.
You know how that was being done. Hear about that all the time. Leaving syringes in payphones, so when you stick your hand in, it gets the change out. And all of a sudden, you have AIDS.
You read all that in the Weekly World News.
This happened repeatedly
right
in the
next
late
80s. The missing kidneys in the bathtub.
Yes, there's another one. Repeatedly, that happened in the late 80s. There is a story out of Brooklyn today. We're just wondering now, the debate was, how much will this family get? There was a woman named Clarabelle Oppenheimer who passed and was being buried in a plot at Evergreen Cemetery in late June. She was 79 years old, and when the family got there for the funeral there at the gravesite, they tried to put Clarabelle into the grave, but the hole that had been dug was too narrow for Clarabelle's coffin. So they tried to wedge it in every possible way they could. And they turned it. They actually turned her on her head at one point, like, you know, vertically.
Yeah.
And the unthinkable happened. The coffin popped open, and Clarabelle spilled.
There she was.
There she was.
Hey.
In front of,
there's Grandma.
There's Grandma in front of all the friends and relatives. I mean, it's really horrible.
It's a nightmare.
It's as bad as you can imagine. Family has to sit there and see it. They're planning a lawsuit. I said, let's give these people a lot of money. But am I just emotional justice on this, Lisa? What do you think the haul will be? Do you think the cemetery will be found liable for this and have to pay a bunch of money? What do you think?
Yeah, they'll have to pay some money. They'll probably end up settling out of court, because these cases, at a time when jury verdicts are sort of, you know, on a historical downward cycle in terms of the amounts, these verdicts are not really headed in that direction. They tend to be higher verdicts because people just really empathize, I think, with what a family's going through, grieving family, and then seeing the body, you know, popping open the casket accidentally. And apparently this was quite the ridiculous ordeal. Like, this went on for hours, and they damaged the casket. Mm. So then the casket had to go back to the funeral home and be completely replaced. So she had to be moved to a completely new casket, bring it back. And it was just, you know, they're all sitting there watching for hours, and it was just their worst nightmare. So the average verdict in a case where there's some sort of a corpse issue and a family sees the corpse in some kind of awful situation, the average is about $250,000. There are many that are higher, you know, $500,000-$700,000, and there are a few that are lower, but that's about the average nationally.
Wow.
It sounds awful when you read the details and hear the details again, but
yeah,
if you add the Benny Hill music,
it's
it's not quite as bad.
I suppose you're right. something about the digging of fast motion digging of a grave and then dropping her and looking around. She spills out.
I'm gonna run across the street, get another casket.
Get another casket.
God. Why is that girl in her underwear? It's Benny.
Somebody said that last night. My pickleball team, as we were squeegeeing off the wet courts and blowing them with the leaf blowers, I said, put the Benny Hill music to speed it up. So, unbelievable.
I say give this people $500,000-$600,000 end of what you were talking about, Lisa.
Yeah, I agree.
And if you're at the funeral, if you're not a family member and you're just at the funeral at the gravesite, do you say, I'm going to go ahead and go?
Yeah, I think so.
Or do you have to sit through the whole thing to be there for the family?
Put a shovel full of dirt on?
Yeah, what's the protocol
on
that?
Or a rose?
I would go.
Exactly.
It was hot, and it was 4 hours that they sat out there. It was just as bad as it gets.
Yeah.
There's another woman ready to sue today. Now, this did not take place in the United States. This is England. But she was leaving her apartment complex, and she had a security deposit that she was hoping to get back in full. And she is on TikTok now saying that she did not get her security deposit back because there was one single frozen pea left in the freezer. And because of that, they said, nope, sorry, you can't have that back. And I think there was a piece of paper on the floor. So we got a torn piece of paper on the floor. Everything else was gone. Torn piece of paper on the floor, no damage to anything, and a frozen pea, and the landlord said, I'm going to have to charge you for this. We cannot give you your deposit back. Surely she wins this, Lisa. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and it's actually pretty easy. In the UK, where this story comes from, they have a program called the Tenancy Deposit Program that is designed for landlords to place security deposits in this. It's like an escrow kind of an account.
Mm-hmm.
And that program, if the landlord participates in it, offers a dispute resolution program that makes it easy for you to appeal what you consider to be an unfair holding of your security deposit.
Aha. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I would think she would win very easily.
It's the case of the princess and the pea.
Right. Now, a friend of mine has a question, too, about, this is kind of landlord, like we talked about it earlier this week. He bought a beach house. He and his family bought a beach house. And because the family moving out of the beach house wasn't quite ready to go yet. Now, they closed on it and everything, but they were building another house. So they said, can we rent it back from you for a month? Which is pretty common, I guess. And so
a lease back. Yeah.
Right. So they did a lease back program. So the month ends, and the family still in the house says, we want to rent it back for another month. And my friend said, no, we don't want to do that because we're ready to go enjoy the last part of the summer at the beach house. But they're saying they really want to do this. And he says he doesn't think he can kick them out because you can't evict anybody right now. And technically, they're renters. Mm. And just right now, you can't evict anybody. Is that the case, Lisa?
You know, I think in this situation, there might be an exception to that since it's a lease back under a purchase. But even if he evicted them, the process for evicting them would take long enough that the month would be gone.
So it
doesn't matter. He might as well. I mean, to serve them and, you know, get his court date and all that, it'll waste a bunch of his time and take up the whole month anyway. And then they're leaving and they're like, oh, never mind, we're gone.
Yeah. So he might as well just take the money for the month, you know? Yeah.
Lisa doesn't need to hear this, and I apologize for wasting your time. We can strike this from the record, but is this friend going to let you give you the hookup, Kelly?
There it is.
Yeah.
Another friend with a beach house?
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Let me just say, I'm keenly aware of the situation.
Yeah.
All these
serious problems, these first world problems, these rich people.
Would you call him a good friend?
I'd call him a very good friend.
Right. Exactly.
Yes, now I would.
Sounds like someone's going to Great Wolf Lodge in a month instead of the beach.
Yeah, you have to swim inside.
I told him that Lisa and I would fight for him every step of the way.
Jerk move, though, to sit there and say we're not leaving.
Oh, I know. To say we won't go.
Yeah,
I mean,
on.
It really is. I mean, come on, get a month.
We squatting.
Yeah. That's exactly what they're doing. Biggie was the first to tell me about this, and it's pretty legendary, I guess, that McDonald's ice cream machines are notoriously broken all the time. You go through.
Order a McFlurry.
Yeah, and they don't have it. They're like, no, ice cream machine's broken. Now, Biggie's theory has always been they're not really broken. They're just hard to clean, and they don't like to do
it. Don't want
to
do it.
But there's a lawsuit. I had trouble understanding it, but a judge has awarded a temporary restraining order against the Taylor Company, the company that makes McDonald's ice cream machines, because another company called Kitch Incorporated makes a tool to fix the machines, And they are fighting and trying to get everything lined up here. Customers have complained that the machine's known for breaking, but while making the McFlurry desserts, the lawsuit says that Taylor has designed a flawed code that causes the machines to malfunction, that literally they break, and they're intentionally breaking, basically. What do you make of this, Lisa, this lawsuit about McDonald's ice cream machines?
Really, this boils down to it's a business tort between Taylor that makes these ice cream machines and this Kitsch company that makes the repair equipment or diagnostic tool. And what they're saying is basically that this Taylor company that makes these malfunctioning machines has tried to steal the Kitsch design and actually create a copycat version of the Kitsch diagnostic tool. And what they did was they say that Taylor used an alias to buy one of the Kitsch devices and then started copying it. And they're trying to put Kitsch out of business and take over that business. Taylor wants, according to Kitsch, Taylor wants that business of diagnosing and fixing the machines that they put in these stores. But the judge has ruled in favor of Kitsch, and they have ordered the Taylor company that makes the machines to give over the device as well as to refrain from using any information that they gleaned from it and refrain from copying it or anything. So it seems at this point anyway that Kitsch has prevailed.
What a story.
It is.
Isn't that crazy that they do that? You know, that kind of reminds me when television first came out with DVRs, I had a TiVo. I was a very early adopter of TiVo, and it was great. I mean, you could pause live TV, which we've never been able to do before. You could record at the touch of a button, record a whole season of shows, of course, all of those things. And then within a couple of years, television, cable company, satellite, they had their own product that was just like TiVo and pretty much drove TiVo out of business.
Yeah, it used to say I'd TiVo the show.
Yeah.
Then the language changed to I DVR'd it.
Yeah. I always felt bad for TiVo because they originated it, you know, but they weren't hooked up with any of these companies and their idea basically was stolen. Isn't this a similar thing?
It's a little bit different, I think, in terms of, you know, here there was a very, what sounds like a very sort of dastardly plan to, sneak and get a machine. And they tried to, apparently they tried for a long time. And rather than developing their own technology, they were just trying to copy this. And so it's a little bit different.
Well, I think
dastardly.
You know,
I love that word.
I think DirecTV bought a TiVo and said, we need to figure this out and get it done, you know?
Yeah, they might have, yeah.
TiVo should have called them out.
Well, you know, actually, TiVo wound up, I believe they went.
They partnered with somebody else, right?
DirecTV. They got into bed with DirecTV, but I don't think they are anymore. And it was TiVo. I TiVo'd something was part of the
language. Yeah, that was the verb for a time.
Just for a minute.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate for them. Just see this woman. This is overseas as well. A Russian woman is suing McDonald's because she broke her, during Lent, she was giving up meat for 40 days. And halfway through, a McDonald's commercial tempted her so much, she went and had a quarter pounder.
Wow.
So she's ready to sue McDonald's over this. I assume that'll be tossed out immediately, Lisa. Is that correct?
It will, yeah. And she's only suing for the equivalent of
$14. That's right.
Which is bizarre.
Do you think?
Yeah. But yeah, that's ridiculous.
Could McDonald's just hand her $14 at the end of the day?
How many McDonald's are there in Russia?
I bet there's a bunch, wouldn't there?
Is that becoming
think?
I would think so.
I guess.
Cities, yeah.
This was for Lent of 2019, and she was halfway through Lent giving up red meat. And she saw a commercial from McDonald's and just said, I couldn't help myself. I went and got the cheeseburger.
She's weaker than you, Kelly.
She is saying something. She is. That is saying a lot. That advertising does get me, though, boy, sometimes.
Gets the Russians, too.
You see it and you want it.
In every language.
One more quick one here, Lisa. There is a lawsuit today against Pornhub, which I know is a website that some of us are familiar
with. He's pointing
to
Biggie.
Okay.
Yeah, the record if you're not watching the video.
Let me say this. He's pointing at me, but he means himself.
Okay. I've heard of it.
This is called deflecting.
I've heard of it. There's a website called Pornhub, and they've announced a project that recreates classic artworks in a pornographic context. And now the Louvre of Paris is suing Pornhub because some of these great works of art are in the Louvre, so they're saying you're stealing this, even though they're doing it, you know, with nudie bodies.
Yeah.
Now, again, advertising suggestion. I'm interested in something like this. Lisa, I'm on Pornhub side on this. So I feel like they should be allowed to do this. What are your thoughts?
No, they can't do because what they're doing because they're taking it one step further. They're actually showing the image from these museums of the classic artwork, and that's the part that's where they're, you know, they're showing videos and other images, and that's where they're crossing the line. And so far, these museums, not just it's the Louvre, it's the Uffizi, it's the Met in New York, all these museums are up in arms because their images of their, they have exclusive rights to the commercial use of these images, and they certainly don't want them on Pornhub. And so they are sending a letter, several of them have sent letters to Pornhub that are cease and desist type letters. If Pornhub continues to use these unauthorized images, then they will take legal action. Mm. And Pornhub can't do that. You know, these are, the museums clearly own the exclusive rights to these works.
Mm. Listen, a Pornhub spokesperson says there's a treasure trove of erotic art from around the world.
Dejeuner sur l'herbe.
Oui.
Manet.
Okay, we should be allowed to use this.
How do you get
stuff?
To be a spokesperson for Pornhub?
That's a good idea.
I'm in the wrong business.
They call you lose rock, paper, scissors.
I guess
see.
So.
He is a Pornhub brand ambassador, and he says...
Well, aren't we all?
He says the things depicted
here... Is that a
herpes
sore on your lip, sir? Please ignore that. Trying to focus on art and fair use.
Yes. Well, listen, then how is it, that, what is the deal when, like, I went to Florence, Italy once, and I saw Michelangelo's David, and I walked into the museum and saw it, and like, okay, this is nice. But then I got out onto the street, and we were eating, like, in a cafe, and there was almost the exact same statue out in the middle of the street, and I was like, well, that's it right there. I mean, I shouldn't have even had to pay the thousands of lira to go in there and see Michelangelo's David. There's another exact replica of it. How can there be exact replicas of things and, you know, that kind of stuff? I guess deals are made so that you can sell posters of the Mona Lisa. Is that right?
Yeah, deals are made, licensing agreements and that sort of thing. And then there's also a big problem with unlicensed products, you know, on the streets and stuff. And they try to handle that as best they can. But if it's, you know, if it's like a street peddler, chances are they're not going to crack down on that.
Okay.
You see little replicas and stuff being sold by street peddlers in Florence, but there's not much done about that.
That's true. That's exactly right. They're trying to sell me that stuff.
What did you bring home from Italy from your trip?
I had a little statuette of probably David or something like that. And I saw, remember I took pictures of the Sistine Chapel, which I wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
That's when I took that little disposable camera
inside.
Inside.
Yeah.
And they said no photography, but I would take pictures of it. And then
No photo.
Right. The little flecks of paint would fall from the ceiling, though. That was good stuff.
Yeah, you should see the statue, Lisa. It barely looks like a bong.
Yeah.
It really hides.
You don't
want
to know where the smoke comes from.
Yeah, we got a new Pope.
Yeah.
Michelangelo's David. Now, that was something to see. That was a big deal.
Really taller than they said, than it appears, right?
Enormous. Yes. Very, very tall. It's huge.
I mean, it's not life size. It's almost twice.
It's bigger than life size, yeah. Have you seen it, Lisa? You've been in Michelangelo's David?
I have, yeah. We went 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was a kid's first big trip ever, and it's mind-boggling.
It's amazing.
It's big, and it's amazing.
You should have called me. I had the best lasagna I've ever had in Florence.
Yeah.
I had a wonderful lasagna there. I would have given you the restaurant's name and everything. Next time you go, Lisa.
It was Stouffer's.
Yeah.
Started out
fresh. Made me barf, though. It would have made me barf. You know,
oh, that's right.
You're gluten-free.
Yeah.
Lisa Lanier, our official attorney of the Two Guys Named Chris Show. Always good to hear from you. Lawyer Up is the segment. She's at LanierLawGroup.com. She's president there. We'll talk to you next week, Lisa.
Have a great weekend.
You too. There she goes. If you need legal advice, hireaheavyweight.com is also a website.